This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, how you doing there, my friend?
Well, I'm a lot cooler inside here than I was in the parking lot waiting to come in.
Our, yeah, you said it was 90-something out there.
99 or 106, I'm not sure.
88, what it says in here.
Oh, but those machines never tell the truth.
See, it says 88 and sunny.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's down on the river somewhere. Yeah. Not in the paved parking lot.
No.
Black pavements. For an acre and a half.
It is getting cooler, though.
Yeah, in the mornings it's a little cool.
Yeah.
You know, not much, but a little.
I kind of hate to see it go, but...
Oh, yeah, me too, sure.
Yeah.
I hate to see it go. If it never came back, it'd be fine with me. Okay, anyway, thank you for listening. If you're listening to this prattle that we're prattling here. Welcome to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and this is a show of ideas for gardens and landscapes and things like that. Try to give you useful information about different kinds of plants and how to plant them, how to take care of them, and how to be successful and make your yard beautiful. And if you can handle that, you can listen to the rest of the show. And if you have a question, 673-4464. Any question is, I'll answer or try to answer. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. But at any rate, it's a fun show. I try to have some fun, try to give you some interesting things to think about and hopefully help you in your garden.
Might even talk about China a little bit.
Yeah, well, there are some plants, you know, so many plants come from Asia and China and that part of the world. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that with roses here, because today my subject is roses and the origin of a lot of roses and how they, I mean, there were wild ones in the United States, but they in China, Japan, and that part of the world, they were doing rose plantings way back when, before anybody else heard of them.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hmm. It's amazing the history of it all. Oh. They were way ahead of us in that respect. But just a little bit off key here, we had an interesting morning yesterday at my house. My wife called me and said there were a pair of otters in our koi pond.
Oh, no.
I said, what are you talking about? Otters? Yeah, she said, I tried to chase them off, but they came up to the top of the water and hissed at me and showed their teeth.
Yep.
She said, come home and shoot them. I said, well, man, how am I supposed to get them out of the koi pond? Yeah. And she said, well, they ate all our fish, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's what they like. They like fresh fish.
They get them all?
Every one of them. I haven't seen any. Of course, the water was a little murky because they were splashing around and stuff.
Yeah.
So tonight it should be settled down enough that I could probably see down into it. But
rascals.
I would say they probably do. They pretty thorough little boogers. But like I said, my wife tried to scare them off, but they responded with a snarl and went back to eating fish. And, you know, this pond, I built it over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And I have never seen an otter swimming in my koi pond ever. I mean, I've been there 30-plus years.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, and so we are now fishless. And even along my creek, there are pools of water that I created over the years just to kind of, you know, keep some in. So if there was a problem, I could put my pump in and pump some water, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And apparently they've been living there much to my not knowing.
Yeah.
And my wife said she walked up the creek. She walks the dog up that away. And she said they were in my big pond way at the end of the field, which is about 500-600 feet from the house. And they were swimming around in there.
Oh.
So, like I say, all the time we've lived there, I've never seen an otter. I mean, I've seen elk, deer, you know, all kinds of stuff. But
beaver, probably.
No, I never seen a beaver. No. But, you know, it's like, whoa, come on, guys. Where'd you come from? Leave me alone. But that's just one of the challenges of rural life. You know, you never know what you're going to get.
Are they still alive?
As far as I know, yeah. Because by the time, as I was coming home on the way home, this is like an hour later, because I was out somewhere, and she called me up again and says, never mind, they left. Oh. They got out of the pond and walked up the hill. And I said, they walked up the hill, because there's a hill right behind the pond.
Yeah.
And they walked up the hill and disappeared. And I thought, crazy little things, aren't they? Thank you.
Let's hope they didn't have any babies up there.
Well, they probably dropped a couple hundred in the pool.
Are you going to get some more koi or no?
Well, I'm going to wait a while and see if I can't dispose of our friendly little otters.
Yes.
And in some way or another, hopefully, yes. Maybe the Fish and Wildlife can pick them up and transport them to... Deer Creek. I don't care.
Put their head in a trap.
Yeah. Well, I hate to just kill them, but if they get to be a nuisance, to death do us part. So here we are in late summer. Yeah, and it's still hot. Still in the 90s. What do you think? Well, it's August. That's why, stupid. Okay. Oh, geez. But at least the mornings have been cool, and it seems that the rest of the country is flooding.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, grandson and just moved to Dallas a week ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah, over nine inches of rain in Dallas. The freeways were like running rivers.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's all flat land up there. In Dallas, it's flat, and so the water was everywhere. Yeah,
are they okay?
Yeah, he seems to be. I don't know, but while the rest of the country is flooding, massive streams like in the Midwest, Arizona, Texas, and even on the East Coast, in Oregon, no rain, just more heat and dry weather.
And Lake Mead gets drier.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, Vegas had a big storm here about a week ago or so. I don't know how much it would raise Lake Mead because it was so far down, but still, it was running. Water was running in the streets of Las Vegas.
Vegas, going through those tunnels.
Yeah, and going into the casinos.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. You know, but like
that's not funny. But...
No, it isn't. It's funny, amazing funny.
Yeah.
Like, what? All the desert regions are getting flooded. Death Valley, 2 weeks ago, had that big swampy storm
and
came through and washed out roads and stranded visitors and all that kind of stuff in Death Valley, where they get no rain, zero.
And 125 degrees.
That must have been fun.
Jeez
Louise. But there it is, Dallas, 10 inches of rain with rivers instead of freeways. And I'd be jumping in joy for 2 inches of rain here once a week. That would be great.
It's a coming.
Oh gosh, I hope so. It's driving me off the edge.
There is a slight chance of showers Friday night and Saturday morning.
That.
You heard that?
Yeah, four drops fall and go. Well, there it was.
We got a report. What we do?
We told you it was slight.
It's 20%.
20%, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which direction is it coming from? Do you know?
I don't think it's
the ocean. Or Dallas. If it comes from Dallas, we got a good chance.
No, it didn't say.
Oh, gosh. So, at any rate, my best advice is to keep watering to a minimum, at least, in your yard. New plants, at least once a week in good soil, and older, mature plants, maybe twice a month. Last night, I was sitting outside in the shade and looking at my rhododendrons that were along the deck, and they were drooping. And I thought, I can't remember the last time I watered them. And I don't know when my wife watered them, but it was bone dry. So I grabbed the old hose and soaked them down, and they just kind of snapped out of it, But they were hurting. And I don't think they've been watered in 2 weeks, maybe.
Mm.
Rhododendrons, not watered in 2 weeks, yet they were still okay. So remember about the overwatering stuff I preach about?
Yes.
Yeah. But older plants, are not going to... need water every day, because that would be a waste of water and drown the plants, rot the roots, and kill the plants. So that's how that goes. But when you got the flowers, you got little flowers, petunias or geraniums and stuff, they're shallow rooted. Like vegetables, if you got a vegetable garden, those are shallow rooted, so they're gonna need more frequent watering, just to keep them going and productive. Like your zucchini, for instance. You want to keep that going.
You got to keep them happy.
Yeah, you got to have a couple of tons of zucchini off each plant for crying out loud.
That's right.
But so they'll need frequent watering, but maybe not every day. Just test the soil. If it's damp, leave it alone. If it's dry, soak it. That's okay. And that, believe it or not, brings me to roses. I want to talk about roses today. And they are some of the hardiest shrubs that you can plant. Don't let the pretty flowers fool you. In fact, there's one rose that we planted out by my driveway where I come off the dirt road into my driveway. Mm-hmm. And it's probably 200 feet from any water. And it's been there, gosh, I'd say a good 10, 12 years. Wow. And it was looking a little poor here lately. And I thought, I wonder if anybody's watered that, because it's a long way to walk. And you can't, you don't have a hose, so you bucket it over there.
And it hasn't rained for
a while. And so, so I felt sorry for it. So I carried out a 2-gallon bucket of water and soaked it right in very quickly, made sure it went down into the roots. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's... It's got about 4 blooms on it, and they're looking kind of peaked. And good thing it's in part shade, too, because like all morning long, it gets shade till, say, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then gets sun for about 4 hours before the sun goes behind the ridge. And so if it had been in sun all day long, it would have cooked. It would have fried.
Well, yeah. Wilted away.
Wilted away right now. I mean, this thing... when we took care of it on a more regular basis, was really a pretty rose. And now it's kind of going, help me, please, help me. But it's a test. It's a test to see how tough they really are. And but like I said, it is blooming and has been since about April, because in April we still had, a little bit of rainfall, and it was okay.
It was all the way till June or so.
Yeah. I think we even had a rainstorm, a little one in
June, yeah.
But I don't remember fertilizing it this year, but I know that was the first watering of this year that poor plant had. And here it is toward the end of August.
Yeah.
So, is it tough? Yeah. That's the point of my story, was to emphasize how tough roses are. And, of course, if they're in good soil and you water them on a regular basis and fertilize them on a regular basis, they're going to be gorgeous. They're going to be pushing blooms. They're going to have multiple blooms on them. And even though they're not delicate and needy plants, they still need some care. But you could water them and then go away for a week and they'd be okay. They wouldn't bite the dust.
Right.
And like I say, too much water for roses is a no-no, anything like that, because they are a deep-rooted plant. Their roots go fairly deep. I know I've dug up my share of roses from my old Roseburg house that were in there for 99 years or something like that. And there'd be a rose bush, be 3-4 feet tall, and the roots, I think, were 3 or 4 feet long. At that time, I was trying to get them all out. All I had to do was dig out about a foot and cut them off, and they would have not grown back.
I
didn't know those things back in them days. But I've written about the roses in my first little Roseburg house, and like I say, they were there over 30 years, I'm sure, maybe 40 years. We have a call.
We have a break.
A break, okay.
We'll be back with more roses.
Yes, I will. Trust me.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're talking roses here.
Yeah, and if you got a question, 673-4464, and it doesn't have to be about roses. It can be about giant sequoias, for all I care, and I'll answer the question. What do you think?
There are vines that want to kill my Easter lily.
And this vine that is taking over the earth. Oh, gosh. But I've written about and spoken about these roses in my first little Roseburg house for a lot of time, and these roses, when we moved in, it was an old house, and so I know they were at least 30 years old, and they were growing over the roof, and the trunks had, like, some of them 3 and 4 inch diameter trunks. Can you ever seen a rose with a 4 inch diameter trunk? Well, These had them.
It's more like a little tree.
It was, except it was growing up the side of the house, over the roof to the other side, and the ones that were planted on the other side were growing up that way, so they were all tangled in the middle. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had the prettiest roof on the block. When it was in bloom, they're going, oh, did you do that on purpose? No.
Yeah, all different color.
Yeah, all different colors. So, you know, and there, I don't know how many plants there were. Totally, close to 100 maybe.
My God.
Because I had that hedge in the front, and then they were all around the house, and I mean, they just went wild on the roses. They must have had, well, the folks that lived there, you know, 50 years or something like that, and when they moved out, they were like in their 80s, and so they were avid gardeners.
They loved their roses.
They did love them roses, because they bloom, man. They bloom. Oh, geez Louise. But, you know, a well-tended rose garden is very beautiful and adds a lot to your landscape. And they're, like I say, easy to plant and easy to grow. There's nothing to it, really. There isn't. And if you let them go, they're going to get wild on you. And if you don't prune them, they're going to get wild on you. And, you know, you want to keep them neat and clean.
Yeah.
And it was any plant, you know, proper soil prep and all that is the key to healthy success. Well, I think with a rose, you could plant it in concrete and it would grow. But, you know, and wouldn't care about it if they had any drainage at all. It'd just float on top. But clay soil, of course, is chock full of nutrients, which is very, very good for plants in general. But it doesn't drain very well at all. In fact, it takes a long time for the water to drain out and for clay soil to dry out. So if that's your soil, you know, mix your bark mulch, your sand, potting soil with the clay, and you'll create a primo soil mix, and you mix it well. And we have a call.
Yes. Uh-oh. We did have a call.
Oh, no. Please, call back.
Oh, absolutely. There we go.
Oh, gee whiz. I hate to lose calls.
Yeah.
But roses are...
That might have been my fault. I think I hit the wrong button at the wrong time. But please do call back. I'll take the blame for that.
You know, well, were you calling me?
No. I hit...
Never mind. There's too many buttons.
There's too many buttons.
And
I
don't care what they do. You just run the buttons now. Oh, gosh.
I'll try.
Yeah. But, you know, if you want to buy good roses, they're very, very available in the spring. Everybody has roses for sale, you know, the box stores and everybody else. And they're good. And
they're back.
And, okay, we have the call.
Oh, somebody's playing games.
Oh, well. But, you know, you got a lot of varieties to choose from, and they're going to bloom the first year. And once established, they're gonna bloom like 6 to 8 months a year, depending on the variety and depending on the weather. And I've had them, as I've said in the past, blooming in the snow. So, you know, that's how good they are. Just keep them pruned, keep them fertilized, and they'll last forever. And... you know, and the last thing, you ought to get a book on roses. There are picture books with colored roses and pictures and descriptions that you can buy at a box store like Lowe's or what's that, Home Depot thing? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
They've got all that stuff.
Should we try it again or no?
Sure, we'll try it one more time. Third time's the charm.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi. I'm listening to your show right now, and I love it. I have some of those old roses, too, about 25, 30 years old. And they're starting to get black spots on the leaves.
Yeah.
Is that too much watering, or...
No, it could be the water could be a factor, but black spot will occur in Douglas County, you know, because we have a, you know, fairly wet climate for several months of the year, and it's a fungus that'll attach itself, and then when the leaves come out, it'll spread to the leaves and things like that. You can fertilize it a little extra and take the leaves off that have the black spot, and you'll get brand new leaves. Or you can spray it with an all-purpose rose spray for fungicides, and that'll help it. Just make sure when you spray like at the end of the day when it's cool and when there's no hot sun. I think that would be the best rather than try to spray it in the morning because, you know, when the sun comes up and it gets 90 degrees, it could have some detrimental effect on the leaves. So if you're going to use spray, do it in the evening.
Okay, great.
And how often do you water?
Boy, in this hot weather, I kind of go out every evening and give it a little bit.
Well, stop it.
Okay, that's
stop
what
it.
I just heard.
Okay. honest, really, stop it. I was talking about my rose across my driveway. It hasn't been watered in 2 months, and I finally carried a couple of gallons of water in a bucket over to it and watered it. And it's got four blooms on it, which it should have 24, but it had four, and it looked a little peaked, and I'm gonna make sure I babysit it for the next month or so it'll kind of, you know, bust out of its doldrums, if you will.
That's a rare
case.
Okay. What about roadies?
Roadies? What, you got a specific question, or?
It kind of seems like it wants to die. I don't know if it's getting not enough water.
How often you watering that one, the roadie?
About every 3-4 days.
Yeah, once a week would be plenty. A good soaking once a week would be more than enough. Are they in the sun or the shade?
They are in, like, direct sun.
All day?
Not in the morning. Uh-huh. Probably about noonish.
Okay.
To about 5.
So how long have they been in?
About 3 years, 4 years.
And have they done that every year?
Actually, this is the first year it's actually looking better.
Oh, good.
It hasn't grown very much.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like dormant.
Huh. Well, did you plant it and did you mix up a good soil mix to plant it in, or did you just dig a hole and put it in?
I did mix a little bit of soil, but I've been trying to fertilize it this year, and I don't know if I fertilized too much and it damaged it.
Okay, well, how many times did you fertilize it?
Twice a year.
Well, and how much would you say? A tablespoon, a handful, what?
Well, kind of just like dumped it out of the bag.
That's a bad way to do it, sir.
sprinkle probably 3 tablespoons around the base.
Uh-huh. Well, you could probably cut that to 1 or 1.5 once or twice a year, and don't get it too near the stem itself. You know, put it out about 6 inches away from the stem because they're a surface rooter, and they'll pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks. All right, 4:31, time for you to call in. We got lots of time.
673-4464, and like I was saying earlier, I finally watered my roadies last night, and I don't think they had been watered in several weeks. I mean, they were drooping. Actually, physically, the leaves were hanging down. But this morning, they were you know,
perky.
Not hanging down. They were perky. So I'm going to water them one more time tonight. Excuse me. And, you know, then I'll go back to my, you know, once every 2 months watering. No, I won't. I'll give it. I'll pay more attention to them because they've been in for, gosh, 15 years, for crying out loud. And they're beautiful when they're blooming, you know. And
yeah.
And after all those years, I don't want to neglect them to death, if you will.
They don't deserve a death like that.
No, they don't. No, they don't. But at any rate, and when I was talking to that gentleman, you know, get a book on roses or get a book on roadies or something like that. Uh-huh. In these books, they tell you how to fertilize and when to fertilize, the type of fertilizer. And you should try to fertilize with a rhododendron fertilizer because it's specifically adjusted for rhododendrons, azaleas, acid-loving type plants.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're a little bit different, a lot different from lawn food, for instance, or triple 16, which is a cheap fertilizer that a lot of people buy, which they shouldn't unless they have a pasture, because that's what it was designed for. But get one that says rhododendron fertilizer on it. And if your rhododendrons are a little peaked and it takes a while for that granular food to get down, give them some liquid food. Mix up a gallon jug of of some kind of a liquid fertilizer and just pour it in, and it's like a direct shot into the root system, and that'll at least perk them up and get them going in the right direction. And you can do that with any plant.
Miracle Grow.
Yeah. It's, you know, it may not be the best for it, but it won't hurt it. There will be some positive effect from you having done it. So, and that way you save your rhododendron or whatever plant it is.
So win-win.
Yeah. Now go back to roses now. Planting roses is not a big mysterious process, you know. It's okay. Pruning is healthy for a rose. So you can do the planting, the pruning, all that kind of stuff. And it does several things. Number one, we remove, when we're pruning, all the dead or damaged canes. In other words, you've got a rose bush that's been in there for, say, 3 or 4 years, and it's got 7, 8 canes coming straight up, and maybe 2 or 3 of them are kind of brown.
Rotten.
Brown. Yeah. And kind of, there's no leaves on them.
Right.
Cut those out. I mean, don't let them stay, because they're not going to help anything. Mm-hmm. And so thin them out. And as the rose keeps growing, after it's bloomed, maybe October or whatever, and November, you can go ahead and prune the tops. Mm-hmm. And you can prune it to, let's say your rose is 5 feet tall, prune it down to about 3 feet tall or 2.5 feet tall, and it'll sprout a whole lot of new growth the following year and will flower beautifully. I mean, they are just so tough. They're so resilient. And as I said about my rose hedge, I'm going to mention that one more time too. I cut it to the ground, baby, with a chainsaw. And I thought, I'm getting rid of this sucker. I hate it. It's a pain in the neck, you know.
Did it a favor.
Yeah, and the pain in the neck came roaring back, I'll tell you.
Oh, no. Yeah,
it did. But it was beautiful after that. And so I learned a lot about pruning. But that was before I was a qualified, licensed and bonded landscape contractor with 2 degrees in forestry, okay? That was way back.
And your college debt, no.
Yeah, right, my college debt. Well, Biden paid it off.
Oh, that's right, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, it was $200.
All right, we'll be right back after this short break. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back with roses.
Yeah, well, I'm still going to chat about roses for a while. Hopefully somebody picks up on some of this information and improves their roses. But
still taking phone calls, too, by the way.
Well, don't call for a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
Oh, golly. Well, and I was talking about pruning in the last segment. And sometimes a rose, you'll see rose stems, the branches actually cross one another. There may be one stem that's straight up, and then another older stem is growing kind of sideways or at a 45-degree angle. Cut that one off. You know, that way there's more room for the straight one to mature and do its thing. And, you know, with old roses, like I was describing at my old house in Roseburg, a heavy pruning may be needed. You might have to cut them puppies way down. And if you're a first-time pruner, go light and then watch how the rose grows in the spring and see if your pruning method was bad, good, or indifferent, and you'll get a better idea. Maybe you need a little bit of extra pruning, and it's okay when they got leaves on them to prune a little bit more, to shape them up, if you will. If you want kind of a rounded rose head, or one that's flat straight across, I mean, you can manipulate that, and it's not going to hurt the plant. It's just going to put it the growth in a different direction. And again, too many stems, prune them, thin them. You know, you're going to learn a lot by just watching how the plant grows after you've done something to it, whether you've fertilized it, whether you pruned it, or your watering techniques. You know, keep an eye on it. Is it responding good, or is it kind of, what's wrong with, why are those brown spots, or why is it wilting? If it's wilting, maybe it needs more water. If it's got brown spots on the edge of the leaves, that's too much water. So you get the feel for it. And when the gentleman that called in the earlier segment, I asked him about fertilization. Well, oftentimes you can buy like a rose fertilizer, and if you're going to prune fertilize roses, get something that says rose food or something like that on it. I mean, it's specifically designed for that. But whatever you do, go light on the fertilizer. You can always add more fertilizer in a couple of weeks or a month or something like that if you don't see a significant increase in growth or bloom. You know, if you only have 4 blooms and you fertilize it, now you got 8 blooms and you want 16 blooms, maybe a little bit more fertilizer. But you do a little bit at a time, because too much is way. It's like if you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner and ate the whole turkey, it's not going to be good for you. You're gonna feel really, really sick. And, so it's okay. But sometimes there are times when a radical pruning is needed, and then there's sometimes just a light pruning is needed. That's why I say, if you can find a book on roses, and all these garden books have a lot of color photos, and you can see the before and after. This is what the rose looked like, or this is what the tree looked like prior to the pruning, and this is what on the other side of the page is, this is the finished product. And that will give you a great idea of what I'm speaking about. And the other way is to, just do it without pictures and try it out and see what happens. And, you're not going to kill it, but it might be a little misshapen for a while, but it'll grow. And remember this, when you're pruning and it sends up new growth equals more blooms. Think about it that way. The brand new growth is going to give you more blooms. And that's, remember my story about pruning my rose hedge that was just driving me nuts. It went along the front of my lot in Roseburg, and it was too tall, and it was flopping around, and it was ugly, and the bottom, there was on for the first 3 feet there were no leaves at all, and then there was a mass of leaves on the top, and the stems were skinny, and the wind would come up and it would flop around, and the blooms were not very many, and the ones that came on were pretty weak. So again, I took my novice pruning technique and got the trusty chainsaw out. And this hedge is 90 feet long, okay? It goes across the whole front of my property. And I decided to kill it. I didn't like it. I was going to kill it. I was going to cut it to the ground. So
Start over.
That's what I did. I cut it to the ground, and little did I know, within three weeks, I'm looking at it and thinking what I'm going to plant in there, and I see all these new growth, new green leaves about an inch or two tall coming up from the roots. And they were lush. They were green. They were gorgeous. And I thought, what in the world is going on here? I killed it. No, you didn't, Mikey. You pruned it. And it went, thank you. Now we're going to push some new growth. And so that was like in August when I cut it down. Okay, by October, those new shoots were 2 feet tall. By November, they began to bloom, and hundreds of blooms. I mean, it was the healthiest rose hedge on the block, if not in all of Roseburg. And by December, it was cold, it was rainy, it had snowed that winter. Yeah. They were in full bloom, and they continued through Christmas into January.
Jeez.
So, are they tough? You betcha they're tough. Can you prune them, and will they come back? Yeah. I can guarantee.
They must have been Siberian.
Yeah, they must have been. Siberian roses, They were beautiful, kind of a hot rose pink. Just a real pretty little flower. They were small flower, too. Oh. They weren't like a great big hybrid tea rose, where you have in floral arrangements and things like that.
Yeah,
they were the miniatures, but man, I'll tell you, there was a billion of them, I'll tell you. And I never watered or fertilized this hedge, and it's a good thing I didn't, because it would have taken over my house. But my point in story is that roses are very tough plants. Take my word for it. Roses have been around, of course, since the beginning of time, and for thousands of years, they grew wild without any help from people. You know, as they grow wild in our mountains around here, you'll mm-hmm. see a wild Oregon rose up there, and it'll have little tiny blooms, and it'll look kind of prickly because it's got all the little thorns on it all over. It's not an easy one to pick or anything like that. but they grow wild without any help from people, and if you walk around in the woods or even in a clear cut, for crying out loud, you can walk through and see these guys with their mm-hmm. small pink flowers. And they're usually in bad soil, or not worst soil in the world, but, you know, pretty much bad soil, or sometimes there's some good soil. No food, no water, mm-hmm. just rain, and they're growing to beat the band. So, and roses, of course, are long-lived plants. I mean, they will live 50-plus years. Jeez. And there are some recorded things where the rose bushes are 100 years old. And I thought, how can a plant live 100 years? But they do. And, they're, you know, if you let them grow, they're as big as a tree, for crying out loud.
That's what you described them
yeah,
as.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And over time, natural roses and the ones that were growing wild all over the world were hybridized, if you will, by the birds and the bees pollinizing from one to the next. And in like in Asia, specifically in China, actually,
from
what the research I was looking at, and then different types of roses were beginning to develop because of the cross pollination from the bees and the birds.
Oh, sure,
yeah, because they bring pollen from this one and insert it in this one and take pollen from the one and pretty soon you got a little bit of difference between color or, mm-hmm. or flowering or amounts of flowers and those kinds of things. And and that was just strictly nature doing that kind of thing. And the sizes of them actually grew a little bit too. And none of this, I won't say none of this, but a lot of this wasn't available in the Western world, us being the Western world, because we're talking about Asia. But when the seagoing world trade began, when we started shipping things from America over to, you know, Japan, China, England, places, Australia, et cetera, and doing that trade thing, some of the sailors, of course, were also plant people.
Oh.
And so they would take a plant. They would dig up a plant and bring it on board, bring it home, and plant it in their yard. I mean, I don't know how many months it took to come across the ocean.
Yeah,
but from where they were, they were successful at it. You know,
that tells you how sturdy, I mean, hardy they are.
Exactly. And I don't think every seagoing sailor was a botanist, but there were some in the crowd that did that and brought them back to our East Coast at first, because there wasn't a lot of things open on the West Coast. There were some rose enthusiasts back in those days in the, you know, early 1800s, late 1700s, and they started playing around and hybridizing things. And then when the Western migration happened and the covered wagons and everybody's going west, young man, they took their roses with them. Some of them just, you know, potted them up or whatever and said, hey, we're taking roses to California or Oregon or wherever the heck they were headed.
Come along. You're coming with me.
Yeah, you're coming with us, buddy. And so you got the Western migration going. And, you know, that's how some roses ended up on the West Coast. Of course, we had our wild stuff, our wild roses. And when planted on the West Coast, there was a natural hybridization again with the bees, the birds, and when they're cross-pollinating with wild stuff, with the stuff they brought over. So different types of roses were forthcoming from that cross-pollination.
Mm-hmm.
So the plant-oriented folks at that time that were, you know, fairly smart, very interested in this kind of thing, they started to propagate them. They started to, dig them out and do their own cross-pollination and from one type to another, and slowly developed the roses that we have today.
Nice.
You know, and they didn't
have...
That's
a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And they didn't have laboratories. They didn't have greenhouses. They had, you know, bare minimum tools and maybe maybe a blanket to cover them in the snowstorm or something like that. But they made a go of it.
And yeah,
they were determined folks, especially after riding a covered wagon 3,000 miles across the country.
I can
I wouldn't do that for fun.
No,
you know, but maybe they'll regenerate that and we can have some fun driving across the country.
you go first.
Yeah. But and when these guys were planted, of course, there was a natural hybridization with our native varieties here, and thereby you're beginning to get new colors. And then the rose fanatics continued to hybridize things and mm-hmm. gather different pollen from different roses, and exactly how the rose industry and, of course, the nursery industry was getting its start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have a break?
We do.
You got your hand on the trigger there.
And I just fired. All right. Again, we'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yes, sir. This is the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and the lines are open. You can call us now.
Right, and we'll give you an answer if you have a question. I mean, it's that simple. 673-4464. So I'm talking about roses and
yep.
how they got here and how this whole thing started and how many different thousands of varieties we got now. But one thing the Conestoga folks discovered
yeah.
was that rose hips are a natural rich source of vitamin C. And they learned that early on. I don't know who told them or somebody just
how they found out.
Ate one out of starvation or something, all of a sudden got better or what. But that's one reason they raised them, because of the rose hips.
Hmm.
And
interesting.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, and then early on, this man named Harry Bennett. Yeah, Bennett. He took pollen, you know, of course, from one rose. This is here in the United States, and added to another rose and come up with a new rose. And this practice is still in use today, and that's how they make the new roses. You see roses with three different colors in them, or you know, a red with orange stripes in it, or a white one with red dots in it, or something like that. And you go, how in the heck did you get that? Well, it's this cross-pollination thing I'm talking about. And these mad scientists who just sit around and say, let's see, what can I do to make a really outrageous rose?
Let's see what we can do here.
Yeah,
man.
That's why we'll do that. Then we name it after my wife.
Yeah, or ex.
Yeah. So these practices are still going strong in the plant industry. That's where a lot of our stuff comes from. And, you know, the hybridization process, I guess, if that's your thing, it's a fun thing. And it's fun, I guess, to make a new variety of something.
Yeah, it would be kind of. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, it takes years, though. It's not an overnight thing.
Okay.
By the time you pollinize and you grow this, then you take cuttings and you know, there might be 3 or 4 years before you actually get a plant out of it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's quicker. I don't know. I've never done it.
Right.
But
it's not like that vine that
comes. No, not like your super vine in your yard at all. So you might ask yourself, why should I plant a rose in my landscape? Well, mainly for longtime summer color. How's that?
There you go.
And general hardiness of a rose plant. You know, it's okay. They're colorful, they're hardy, and you don't have to do much to them to keep them that way. You can plant them in your shrub beds if you got some small shrubs and they're widely spaced and there's room. You're going to want to plant a few more things, and it's got a bit of a sun, at least half a day or maybe 3/4 of a day sun. A rose would be looking good, because if you got like all the evergreens in there, mucopine or juniper or something like that, and you want a little more color and you're tired of planting petunias in there because the deer are eating them, try a rose bush. Try several rose bushes of, you know, different colors, and you've got color, gosh, like I say, at least 6 months out of the year when you're blooming. Our mini roses, they start blooming very, very early, like April-ish, and they'll bloom till December. They have a real small flower,
that's
but they're loaded with flowers. There must be, on one mini rose, probably 2 feet tall, 3 feet tall, and 3 feet wide, there might be 300 blooms on it.
Good.
You can't even see the leaves. because there's so many blooms on it.
Nice.
And you know, when we've had snowy Decembers and stuff,
right.
They're still blooming. The snow hits them. The snow covers them up. The snow melts, and they're still blooming.
You're still,
yeah,
wow.
That's how hardy those guys are. And they're out by the road, so they don't have a sprinkler system. So probably once or twice a week, they get a little bit of water from a hose. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Oh.
And if I can remember, I'll fertilize when the rains start. If I remember, but usually I don't even remember, for crying out loud. But they
until
grow.
You see them as you drive by.
Yeah. And like I say, they grow on an average of, say, 3 feet high, 3 feet wide, something like that. Or we prune ours because my daughter takes cuttings, and that's how we propagate new ones.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they're, you know, maybe 3 feet high, 2.5 feet tall, but nice and wide and round, because when she prunes them rounded. And they look good. They're color, man. And you don't have to mess with them. And the deer don't eat them, for crying out loud.
Very decorative.
Yes, yes. Then you have the hybrid tea roses. Those are the tall bouquet-type roses, you know, with the long, tall stems and the big flowers that are gorgeous. And they're just as tough. They're beautiful. You can make bouquets. Leave them alone. They make great bouquets, and our florist, for instance, a lot of folks are, especially Valentine's Day, hey, roses, we better have lots of roses in stock for those Valentine bouquets that we push out of that. And for, if you want one for the kitchen table or a gift for your friends, hey, those mm-hmm. are the ones that people want. They don't want the little teeny ones.
No, they want.
They want display.
The big
they
ones.
Want color, man. They want they want pizzazz.
You want to be able to see it.
Yeah, yeah. And then there are the climbing roses.
We do that next week? Because we got 2 seconds.
2 seconds? I'll talk about climbing roses later if you want. Goodbye.
All right. Climbing roses next week. What do they say? Same time, same channel?
I hope so. Thank you for listening.
All right. Where are you located in Winston, Mike?
Oh, about a half a mile south of Winston on Highway 99. Look for the big green roofs, and they're brand new because the storm blew them off and we put a new one on.
Nice.
And we'll treat you right and tell you all you need to know and make sure you're a success with your plants when you leave.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.